was about 20 years ago to this day, in December of 2016, that I walked into an Asian leaders meeting at the University of Illinois at Champaign. Bert, I was there on your stomping grounds. And I was attending an Asian leaders meeting, Urbana. Urbana is the triannual, every three-year missions conference held, sponsored by InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, mainly for college students to promote world missions. And as I walked into that meeting, out of the corner of my eye, I noticed a young woman who was standing next to a friend of mine. These two young ladies approached me, and I greeted the friend that I knew. And after greeting her, I then introduced myself to the woman who had caught my eye. And I told her, "Hello, my name is Wei." She responded in kind, "Hello, my name is Vicky." That was the end of our conversation. But that thus was the beginning of my relationship with one Vicky Lee Ching Chen at the time. First words, first impressions, beginnings are all very critical to a relationship. It can set the course for the future of the whole relationship. But not only in relationships, but in any endeavor, in any sporting event, in any musical performance, how you play that first measure can affect the whole rest of the musical score. And praise God, Happy New Year. Praise God that in the sovereignty of His calendar that we get to start this new year, January 1st, on a Sunday, here worshiping the Lord. And as we start this new year together, we want to give thanks for all that He's done in 2016, but we want to look forward and get off to a great start, a great beginning to the year 2017, both in our own personal lives, but also as Katy Christian Community Church. And what better way to start off and launch off than with the very book of Genesis, the very beginning in the first book of the Bible. And so for the next 2 months, we are going to be going through Genesis, parts of Genesis, as we seek God's beginnings, and as we seek today how we can launch off to a great start to this new year. We're going to start at the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Do you want to get off to a great start in your own personal life and as the church? Let's turn to Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, as we get back to the very beginning. Genesis was written originally for the nation of Israel. It was part of the Pentateuch, which was written by Moses. There was probably a later editor. We know that because in parts of the Pentateuch, it says that Moses was the most humble guy on the earth. And so we don't think Moses wrote that. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been the most humble guy on the earth, right? So maybe someone like Ezra or later compiled it. We're not exactly sure. But it was written for the people of Israel to explain to them the ways of God, explanations for the beginnings of the universe. But it definitely has application for us today. And so, as we start, let's just start at the very beginning. And in verse 1, it tells us that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I know there's a lot of debate about Genesis and Genesis chapter 1. We won't have time to go into all the debates about that and how it relates to science. But making a few comments about the background and the backdrop, I take Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 as a summary verse. So in verse 1, I see the author telling us a summary that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that the earth and all that was there was actually already there in Genesis 1. And so starting in verse 2, that God starts to reorder or order the earth that was already there and to fill it. So starting from verse 2 to the end of the chapter, we have God ordering and filling the earth. But it was important for the Israelite to know that it was God who was the sovereign over all creation, that it was Yahweh that we find out in chapter 2 who is behind all of this, the God of Israel. Because, as you know, the Israelites were going to be entering into the promised land. And in that promised land, there were many idols, many other gods that the people of the land worshipped. And in fact, Genesis was written in the backdrop of many other Canaanite deity religions and in the backdrop of other creation accounts. One of the most famous other ancient Near Eastern creation accounts that was out there was something called the Enuma Elish, which in the Akkadian language means went on high. And so this was an account that talked about how the world was formed, the universe was formed, and even how gods came into being. And it has stories on these ancient tablets of how the gods or the goddess of the sea, Tiamat and Apsu and then Marduk battled these gods and defeated the gods and how many other gods were formed through the union of Tiamat and Apsu and then Marduk battles them and then he's the sovereign over all. But there's many gods and so in this kind of backdrop, Genesis was written because the Israelites needed to know that it wasn't all these other gods that had sovereignty, had rule, had authority over the universe, but it was the God of Israel, I Am, that was supreme over all. Again, we know that they were going into this land and they would be tempted to perhaps even worship some of these other gods, as we remember in Deuteronomy 20, that you shall devote them to complete destruction. Now, I know that's a debate as well, and we can talk about that. But the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and the Parasites, don't forget them. As the Lord your God has commanded, that they may not teach you to do according to all their abominable practices that they have done for their gods. And so you sin against the Lord your God. So the Israelites were going into this land where people were practicing all kinds of abominable practices, child sacrificing to Molech and abominable sexual practices, and so much so that God says, I will vomit them out, and I will vomit them out of the land. Get them out of the land. They had polluted the land so much. And so the Israelite needed to know that it was the God of Israel, I am Yahweh, who was the one supreme God. He's the one who created everything in the universe. He is numero uno. He is Shangdi. There is no other. God is supreme. And so for us today, with further revelation, we know that this God is the God of Jesus Christ. That Jesus is the supreme creator. He is overall. He is numero uno. And we know that from many passages in the New Testament, some of it most familiar, John 1, 1 to 3. Do you know it? Do you know the sing the word? In the beginning. What? How does it go? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning, and there's nothing that has been created that wasn't created by Him. That's Jesus. He's supreme. Because, see, what happens is that today we are being inundated. Let me go here. One more. 1 Corinthians. For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Jesus is the author. He is supreme over all of creation. So the Israelites needed to know that there was no other God. And today, we need to know there is no other God. It's Jesus. Now, I don't think any of us in here this morning is going to have a problem recognizing that Jesus is supreme. That you think that, okay, maybe it was Molech who created the universe. Maybe it was Marduk. You know, anyone in here? I don't think so, as I look around. But there might be some of us in here who have been influenced by the cultural and are not affirming the great supreme power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our culture is being influenced by secular humanism, and it's influenced by naturalism, which basically says that there is no supernatural. Here's a little definition for naturalism: a philosophical viewpoint according to which everything arises from natural properties and causes, and supernatural or spiritual explanations are excluded or discounted. You're being taught that all throughout your schools, many of the academic institutions. In fact, our culture is being severely influenced by naturalism. And so, we need to get back to understanding that Jesus is a supernatural God. Miracles are possible. The supernatural does exist. And so, as we want to launch off to our year of 2017 in our own personal lives, and as a church, let's look to the God. Let's recognize that Jesus is a supernatural God. And as you set your New Year's resolutions, as you set goals, yes, be smart, right? Specific, measurable. What is it, the A? R is realistic, and T is time-based. Be realistic, but also be supernaturalistic. Be supernaturalistic. And that means when you set the goal of, okay, I'm going to spend 15 minutes with God each day. That's my New Year's resolution. Yes, set a realistic goal, but expect God to do the supernatural. When you're spending time with Him 15 minutes, I'm going to expect God to transform my life, transform my heart, so I can forgive that bum who hurt me so deeply. That's a supernatural act of God, to be able to forgive someone. So we need to get back to believing that we serve a supernatural God as we set our goals. And as you set goals for STL and Unashamed and Cornerstone and Agape, let's expect great things from God and attempt great things for God, because we serve a supernatural God. And also, let us remember that it's God who created the universe. It was the God of Israel. It was Jesus. And He is not only a supernatural God, but He is the supernatural God. See, we've also been influenced by pluralism, right? Pluralism says that there's many good ways to get to God. You know, maybe it was a whole bunch of gods who created the universe. No. One, monotheism. Jesus is an exclusive God. He is supreme, and He is exclusive to all others. There is salvation in no other name, for there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Any of you seen Kung Fu Panda? Who's seen Kung Fu Panda? Okay. So in Kung Fu Panda, you know, Tai Lung, he's the opponent. And he comes up to the Kung Fu Panda, you know, the big fat panda. How can he beat me in Kung Fu? And he says, What do you mean? The Wushu finger hold? You're just a big fat panda. And he says, no. I am not a big fat panda. I am the big fat panda. Skadoosh! Pew! And that's the God we serve. A God who is the creator of the universe. Not a creator of the universe, the creator of the universe. So friends, let us recognize, as we start off this new year, let us recognize Jesus is the supreme, supernatural God. Okay, I brought up one prophecy, because one more reminder against the naturalism argument. See, God, He is a God of miracles. He is the supernatural God. See, we're fighting against naturalism, which basically says, okay, we got a bunch of bricks up here. And the world, the universe, was created through naturalistic means. See, what happens is we just put a bunch of bricks together and blow it up. Boom, blow it up. Okay, didn't work. Blow it up again. Boom, blow it up. Keep blowing it up, blowing it up, blowing it up. You blow it up a billion times. Then you get the building like KCC church building. Bukanunda. Right? No way, Jose. I mean, it's just like, you know, saying, hey, the smartphone here, I just put a couple of electrodes and electrons, you keep blowing it up, blowing it up, blowing it up, and then I get the smartphone. No. It was design. It was a design that an intelligent person had to put it together. An intelligent person had to figure out how to structure this building. Jesus is the supreme. He's the supernatural God. Let's recognize that Jesus is the supernatural God. Now, moving on to verse 2, we see the state that the world was in, the universe was in. It says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. The deep there probably meaning the physical ocean, the seas. So again, I take it that the world was in existence when we get to Genesis 1:1, but that what now God is doing is He's taking this gooey substance of the earth, and He's going to form it. And we see Him forming all of that, separating the skies from the land, and the waters from the land, and then filling it with fish and with birds and with animals. But God was bringing order to the chaotic world. God was bringing order to chaos. And so as we launch out into our year in our own personal lives, I want to exhort us to request Jesus to bring order to your chaos. To request Jesus to bring order to your chaos. Now, you think, okay, well, you're kind of extrapolating a little bit. Okay, maybe I am here, you know, creation. But I do believe in other parts of the Bible, this is a true principle, that Jesus brings order to our chaotic inner world. We just studied the portion of Mary and Martha a few weeks ago, illustrating how as we are with Jesus and building our relationship with Him, He orders our private world. In 1 Corinthians, the last verse in chapter 14, it talks about how our God, it let all things be done in an orderly manner. So this principle of God bringing order to our chaos, I believe, is a biblical principle. He is the God of shalom, the God of peace. And as we seek Him, let us request Jesus to bring order to our chaos. Is your life in chaos? Do you ever feel like your life is in chaos? I sure did. It was the day my vacation started, back on December the 19th, not less than 2 weeks ago. And that night, we had guests over to our house. I had a very close person in my life who was in town, but I know that this person did not want to see my face, even though we were very close. So I was feeling chaos because of this. Furthermore, we had a family crisis that morning. I can't go into the details, but enough to say that we had a family crisis. My church email inbox was already starting to get full. And then I get a personal email, because I'm trying to help my parents sell some property. And then the email comes back. We were all about ready to close on the property. And the email comes in that day, and it says, "I'm not going to close on the deal. You guys are being ridiculous." And so right there, my life is in chaos. But praise God, Brother Carl knows what that's like. Don't you know, Brother Carl? That's a chaotic world, ain't it? Okay, so here I am. My life is in chaos. But praise God that as I bring all these burdens, these chaos to the Lord, and as I share these burdens with close friends, and they say, "Yes, Wei, we're going to bear your burden. We're going to pray for you." And God began to bring order to my chaos. And maybe you're feeling like that too. Maybe you just don't know how you're going to get through this upcoming next 6 months or year. You don't know how you're going to get through band and serve on Focus STL and be a part of FBLA and keep up your 4.5 GPA and serve an AV and respond to all the requests of your parents. You just don't know how you're going to do it. My life is in chaos. And I know who I'm speaking to. Well, let me tell you, request Jesus to bring order to your chaos. Because, brothers and sisters, there is hope. There is hope as we look to God, as we look to Jesus, and we see that hope in the end of verse 2, if you look with me, the earth was without form and void. Darkness, this gooey substance, was over the face of the deep. And, I think there should be a but there, but they put an and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Praise God, there's hope. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And so, let us rely on Jesus alone for blessings in life. In verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God brought life and blessing to the earth. And as we rely on Jesus alone, He will bring blessings to our life. as we go through Genesis, we'll find out the purpose of the blessings. But let us rely on Jesus alone for blessings in life. Because we will be tempted to rely on other gods. And as I mentioned, I don't think any of us in here is tempted to rely on Marduk or Baal or Tiamat or Molech or Ashtaroth or even Buddha or Muhammad or the Hindu gods. I don't think any of us. But if there are, I want to challenge you to rely on Jesus alone, because He alone has risen from the dead. Romans 1:4, right? He was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. That's what makes Jesus the unique, supreme, supernatural God above all these other gods that I just listed. But I think our problem might be more relying on the gods of this culture. And so I want to challenge us not to rely on materialism, which is a tendency to consider material possessions and physical comfort as more important than spiritual values. It's the temptation to think that if I can just get a bigger house or more money or the iPhone 8, which hasn't even come out yet, then my life will be complete and fulfilled. If only I could have more. Well, I want to challenge you. Maybe some of you want to downgrade your phone. Hey, you got an iPhone. Maybe you want to get the flip phone. Downgrade your phone and upgrade your life. I got people in here, they want to downsize their house because their family's getting smaller. So it's just something to think about. Okay, me too. You can challenge me with that too. So let's not put it on the altar. Okay, whatever it is that we don't want to put. Okay, so materialism, we don't want to do with that. All right, hedonism, the ethical theory that pleasure and that's the sense of satisfaction and desire is the highest good and proper aim of human life. We're being surrounded by the advertising agency, which says that hedonism is the end goal of life. Keep Jesus as supreme. Narcissism. Some of our most recent presidential candidates have enlightened us, so we think, to this definition, we claim. But we're going to be praying. We're going to be praying for our leaders, okay? Extreme selfishness. With a grandiose view of one's own talents and a craving for admiration. You know anybody like that? All right, brother. Yeah, give me a few amens there, brother. Okay, good. I'm glad someone's listening here this morning. Okay, we got to pray for our people. But that's what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, right? In the last days, men will be lovers of what? What does it say? 2 Timothy 3:1. Men will be lovers of self. Lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, proud, rebellious towards their parents, lovers of pleasure, that's hedonism, rather than lovers of God. All right, so we have to fight those things as we launch out into 2017. Let us rely on Jesus alone for blessings in this life. Because we know that God created us. And because He created us, He knows what's best for us. Not Madison Avenue. You know, if you want to know what's best for the created object, you got to go to the Creator and ask the Creator what is best for the created object. Now, thankfully, I've purchased a car in the last couple of years. And with the car comes the owner's manual. Okay? The instruction manual. Now, if I want to know how to keep my car running well, what is best for my car, I got to read the instruction manual and follow it, obey it, abide by it. All right? So, So friends, when we listen to the voices of hedonism, materialism, narcissism, we are not going by the instruction manual, the owner's manual. We're listening to something else out there. And you're not going to get the best performance out of your created object. It's like, you know, what am I supposed to put in the gas tank? Max, what am I supposed to put in the gas tank according to the instruction manual? All right, we're being facetious. I know he knows. You got to put gasoline in the gas tank. But what happens if I put orange peels or chocolate syrup? The car's not going to run well. And that's what we're doing when we're listening to these other voices and not reading the instruction manual. Now there's nothing, or sometimes we're not doing it in the right proportion. Like, there's nothing wrong with taking a good vacation. There's nothing wrong with owning an iPhone. But it's when we think that that's everything, or we don't do it in the amount that the instruction manual says, that we get into trouble, or we don't do it in the way that the instruction manual says. I mean, romance and sex are good. But in accordance with the instruction manual and the instructions laid out. I mean, go home and ask your parents to, if you haven't had the talk yet. Okay? Have the talk with your parents and ask them, Mom, Dad, tell me about, you know, romance and the stuff. Let's have the talk. And let them explain to you that it's good and it's beautiful and it's right and it's ordained by God, but according to the book. And so you don't go off and do it with the same person or two or three people or before you get married. You got to do it according to the book. So you do want to add oil to the car. But if you add too much oil, what happens? It's bad for the car. You can start to break the seals. Oils go all over the place. Then you're in trouble. So friends, as we start off 2017, I want to challenge us to go by the book. To live by the book. And will you make a commitment before God to read the life manual for 15 minutes a day? Find a chair. Will you make that commitment for 2017? By the grace of God, 15 minutes is a great place to start. And we start with Genesis. Read a chapter a day for these next 2 months. And if you're already on a Bible reading plan, great, stay on it. But if you're not, start with Genesis. Read a chapter a day. Later on, I want to challenge you to memorize 4 verses, but we'll get to that later. Memorize those 4 gospel verses. We can check up on one another. So I want to challenge you to get off to a great start. This morning, we have talked about how to get off to that great start by recognizing that Jesus is the supreme God, the supernatural God. There is no other. And so as we plan, let us expect supernatural results from God. And let us plan and be missional, knowing that there is no other way to God. So in all of our groups, let us be missional, knowing that there is no other way to God. Let us request God to bring order to our chaos. And let us rely on Jesus alone to bring blessings in this life and follow His life manual. My life was in chaos. I was a single man. I didn't know where my life was headed, who the next person would be, if the next person was the right one or wasn't the right one. My schedule was horrendous, off the charts. I was moving from Dallas to Houston to California, back to Houston, back to Asia, all in little more than two years. I was getting sick because my schedule was off the charts. But then the Spirit of God was hovering over my life, and He said, "Let there be woman." And woman came into my life. And slowly, my chaos became ordered. I began to, instead of eating every meal outside at a restaurant, I began to eat 90% of my meals at home. My schedule, it became more reasonable. I got sick a lot less, even though woman got sick a lot more. But God began to bring order to my chaos. So friends, as we launch out to 2017, let there be light. Recognize Jesus is supreme and supernatural. Request Jesus to bring order to your chaos. And rely on Jesus alone for blessings in life. Let's pray together. Lord, we praise You. You are worthy of our praise. Thank You for this beginning that is ahead of us. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we ask that we might look to You alone and abide by Your instruction manual in life. We pray in Jesus' name.
Oh, me. world, Lord, for breathing life into us, Lord. God, pray that you just always keep, let us keep you in our minds, Lord. Lord, this whole new year, Lord, that you are the life giver, Lord. Just know that.
Seated. We just have a few announcements, and first of all, we just want to welcome anyone who might be worshiping with us for the first time. Is there anyone who's in the auditorium this morning who's visiting with us and is worshiping with us for the first time? We'd like to meet you and allow you to introduce yourselves to us. Is there anyone here this morning on this side of our auditorium? Okay, how about on this side? Looks like we have most of our regulars here this morning, so okay, glad you could be worshiping with us this morning. Also, just two announcements. One is that, as you know, our senior pastor, Pastor Young, has retired, although he's still around to help and serve. But there will be an appreciation potluck dinner on Saturday, January the 21st, and so we do invite you to come to participate in that and bring a dish to give thanks and appreciate his years of service to the Lord. Also, the Focus will start meeting on January the 13th, so this Friday there will be no Focus. I believe all the other missional community groups will also be starting to meet on the weekend of the January the 14th. All right, well, let's go ahead and stand, and we can be dismissed with the benediction. So, okay. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of God hovered over the deep. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So go out this week with the creative Word of God in your heart and in your life, and be the light to a dark world. Go in peace.